Thank you for taking the time and being here with us today in the house of the Lord. Life is busy, lots of things going on, and to set this time aside is very much appreciated so that we can do as a church, as a congregation, what God has for us. And I'm excited about what 2023 really holds for the Church of Jesus Christ, what it holds for North Shore Community Church. And my prayer is the same for the other churches in our community. We're looking in a series at what the Bible has to say about new things. Say new things.
New things.
And we're using as a text 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And of course, the focus and the foundation of that is the in Christ portion of that verse. What we can hope for and stand on and believe in and trust in and walk in is the in Christ aspect of in Christ all things are become new. There's a lot for us to consider, and especially in a series of sermons. We only just touch on a few of them. On the one hand, on the other hand, there's some things for us to be clear about and to be cautious with as well. You know, at the beginning of every year, or every new year, like the current one, you know, a tremendous number of prognosticators come out of the woodwork. Either they're talking about, you know, the financial future, or they're talking about, you know, different kinds of futures, all right? And you know, in the church, we would say maybe it's the prophets that come out of the woodwork, issuing their decrees and their declarations over the new year, prophesying God's tomorrow. And it kind of, at least in part, neatly fits into the new year because, you know, in the new year, everybody is looking ahead, planning ahead, and usually are doing that before they just go ahead and forge ahead. Maybe the new year is bringing about some business ventures or some travel plans or some new things that I want to do or get done. And all those honey-do lists, they just repeat themselves or they get refreshed and so on and so forth. The new year brings all of that out. And so the phenomena of people wanting to see what's just down the road ahead is not just a Christian phenomenon. It's all men everywhere want to know what a year like 2023 is going to bring, especially in light of maybe what 2022 brought us in its fullness. And so, but what I would call the religious logic, you know, the religious reasoning would be, you know, if I can get God's take on it, if I could get a little bit of insider information from the Lord as to what's going to be happening right down the road, I mean, why not? I mean, what person would not want that? And in fact, isn't that what the office of prophet, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and isn't the office of prophet to kind of tell us in advance, God telling us in advance what's going to happen? And so forth. But I say that to say, you know, that the number of those things happening and the frequency at this time of the year is, well, it's a whole sphere out there. It's a part of Christendom, we might say, relative to the church. And don't misunderstand me, because I believe that God Almighty is truly and wonderfully and powerfully and most certainly in the revelation business. Friends, you have a Bible full of revelatory knowledge that God has given to us. And it's a treasure that is renewed day by day. It's truth for the moment, for every moment of our lives. And so, yes, I most certainly believe that God is in the business of revealing himself to us. But I say that to also say there's a fair share of high-profile, well-bankrolled slickmeisters who are out there doing their thing, and you know, the fakery and the phoniness to go all along with that. And it's done for the money that it generates. And they call it by different names, and they tag it and say, well, this is for ministry. And sometimes, you know, the what's really the elaborate fixed base of operation ministry they're calling at is just their two front pockets. How much of that stuff they can jam in their pockets. And so unfortunately, people are caught up in that. And that's nothing new. You say, what's that got to do with new things? There's nothing new about that. That goes on all the time. And so what's my point? Is my point to point fingers? No, it's to point us back to the scriptures. Is to say, you know what? Here's the reality check for all of that. If you want to know what is to happen, we'll say, in the new year, if you want to get in line with what God's plan is, friend, you're going to find it in your Bible. Now, you may be rereading something that you have read hundreds of times, but this is a living word. It is alive and active and sharp and powerful. It says in Hebrews, sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder of soul and spirit, of joint and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. And so you can take that right to the bank with you today. That's good and good for you. But so we're talking about new things. And I just say all of that to preface to, so that you know that when they're coming along and they're talking the talk, well, make sure that they're walking the walk to go along with that on the same token. Make sure that those things line up in the Word of God. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, what do you do with those who are careful when they speak? Those who walk under the unction of God's Spirit. And who, when they say something, they not only mean it, but it does indeed come to pass. Now, when we're talking about the prophetic, we're not always talking about that which is down the road in the future. There's an aspect of it that's futuristic, a prophecy. We would call that foretelling, foretelling. We're telling something before it happens. God's word speaks in many places of things that are going to happen, that are going to unfold and happen. But then there's also another aspect of prophecy called forthtelling, where we just open up God's word that he's already spoken. But now he, by his Spirit and under the unction of his Spirit, he's, will say it's being spoken in a fresh way. Maybe to new listeners who've never heard it before. Or maybe to us seasoned listeners who have heard it, but you know, something has happened. And then it washes over us again in a fresh and new way, and we're refreshed in God's word. The same word that maybe we heard last year, but now it's like God's now doing something with that. I was thinking all week about a passage of scripture that kind of goes along with, we'll say, this time of year. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. And would you put Isaiah 43 and 19 up there? Let's take a look at this verse. Behold, I will do a new thing, God speaking. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I mean, what a verse of promise and hope. God's saying, I'm gonna do a new thing. You know, the word there, behold, when you read that in your Bible, behold, it ought to be a captivating word. It ought to be that which takes away every distraction that might be going on in the moment, in the instant, and draw our attention fully to what's being said. Behold. That's what that means. Stop whatever it is that you're doing and pay attention here. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now, of course, in context, this is talking about what God is going to do within the children of Israel to bring them out of their captivity that they are in, and how he's going to restore his covenant people, Israel. I will do a new thing. But also there's a portion of this that speaks even further down the road, and it points us to Jesus. You know, the new thing that God has done, the thing that stands for all time, that the new thing is Jesus. Behold, I will do a new thing. So you could just kind of superimpose Jesus into that, and it shall spring forth. And friends, you know that when Jesus came forth, and when Jesus stepped into that earthly ministry, all kinds of things began happening that never happened before. I mean, God was doing a new thing. Hallelujah. And I'm all in support of God doing a new thing. In fact, if I can inject some ideas, and I might likely do that here today and in the days ahead, of the things that I would love to see the Lord do in 2023. Folks, I want to see the Lord do a new thing. But it has to start with Him. It has to start with Jesus. Because, that's the foundation of it all. So I'll do a new thing. And now it shall even spring forth, and you shall know it. And I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And you'll also remember that when Jesus began His earthly ministry, the very first thing that Jesus did after coming out of the baptismal waters was He went out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And Satan tried to have his way with Jesus, and he pulled out every trick out of his trick bag that he had, and all of them failed. And the scripture says, then the devil left him for a season. And the angels came and ministered unto him. And then, so Jesus gives out of the desert, out of the wilderness, the new thing that God wants to do, give us victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus brought that all with Him when He came to earth. Somebody give Him praise. Amen. And so I love that verse. But God forbid that we should just play fast and loose with it for some agenda, to some end, some ungodly gain for it. But unfortunately, that's also what happens at this time of year. So I just say, be careful. Be careful. When God does say something, you can be guaranteed He's not going to take it back. And you can also guarantee that it's not going to be a mistake. They're not going to have to come back later on and say, well, you see, it was more like this. For example, recently, back before the outbreak of COVID-19, back in the end of 2019, November, December, and then the early part of January 2020, before COVID hit, before all of that stuff really began to unfold here, some of those same prognosticators were telling how there were going to be great stadium events in 2020, and that thousands and tens and thousands of people were going to come to the Lord in 2020, and how there was going to be this tremendous transference of wealth taking place. That the world's wealth and riches were going to be transferred over into the church. And you can get in and be a part of this if you will give your seed money to our ministry. We want you to be in on the leading edge of what God is about to do in 2020. Not one of them, not one who rides that circuit ever said, oh, well, by the way, there are going to be shutdowns, economic disaster. We're going to see groups like BLM and Antifa rise up. There's going to be the burning of our inner cities. We're going to close all of your schools. No one said any of those kinds of things. And in fact, when it was all said and done, none of them ever even apologized for getting it wrong. They just went on about their business. And folks, I can tell you, 2020... The new thing that happened in 2020 was like nothing we ever seen in all of our lives, right? COVID-19 and all of the ill effects of that. None of us were voting for those things, any of those new things, but that's what took place. I don't think any of them either gave back any of that money that they took under false pretenses. Just saying. In Romans chapter 3, it says this, and I suppose this might be a disclaimer against all of those things. Let God be true and every man a liar. In fact, the bigger part says, God forbid, Paul is speaking there. Yea, let God be true and every man be a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings. And mightest overcome when thou art judged. Make sure before we open her up and let her spew that we know that it's coming from here, that the Spirit of God is indeed driving that word forward. One of the things that I am praying for, I'm not declaring and decreeing, and I'm not promising or necessarily prophesying today. One thing that I do pray for that would happen in 2023, folks, is that the Church of Jesus Christ would experience spiritual breakthrough. Amen. Spiritual breakthrough. This country needs it so bad. Yes, we do, Miss Helen, we do. That kind of new thing taking place. What might that look like? You know, because breakthrough presupposes something. Breakthrough presupposes that there's some blockage somewhere, that there's a wall somewhere, that there's some kind of barrier someplace. When all of our kids were yet at home and when they were young, we would maybe get in a car, we would go on a trip, maybe we'd go downstate, and you know, you get on I-75 and you start traveling downstate, and next thing you know, everybody starts slowing down, the brake lights all go on, and everything gets a lot slower and slower and slower, and then Megan or Brett or one of the kids would shout out, crash jam! So we, you know, presupposed that there was something up the road that was going on, and here we are 5 or 10 miles behind that thing, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. What we need is a breakthrough. And you ever notice when you get up to the end of that thing, there's like a guy standing there with a sign, you know, and there's just a one-way traffic. Why didn't everybody just move over, get in line, and say, we're not waiting here for hours? You know, there's always got to be that guy. You know that guy that's got to get in that lane? He's got to get ahead of everybody else and jam in there in the end. And there's 4 or 5 other people that do the same thing right behind him, and next thing you know, crash jam. Crash jam. It's a blockage somewhere. We don't always know what it is. But it's just there. Amen. What we really want is we want to get this thing going. We want to get this thing moving. We want a breakthrough. Folks, I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ in 2023, including this congregation, we need breakthrough. There needs to be spiritual breakthrough so that it not only has its impact and allows free flow here, but also out the doors. Out into the world, our world needs spiritual breakthrough. So we want to talk about that as we close out this sermon series on all things new. Hallelujah. It's something that I think could happen, and it's most definitely something that I think should happen. So we have our text. Let's open to that text. Let's stand to our feet. Let's read it one last time together here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. What does this have to do with breakthrough? Let's read it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Father, today, as we've opened your word, your righteous and holy sentence, Lord, we're thankful for it. It is a lamp to our feet and light to our path. And Lord, might it be, might there be reminder, Lord, to us today? Might there be illumination, Lord, today in our minds and down in our hearts of the treasure that is your word, of the treasure that's right here in this particular verse. And so, Lord, we're going to thank you in advance, and Holy Spirit, we're going to welcome your presence to teach, lead us, and guide us into truth. And we'll thank you now for it all in Jesus' name. Amen? Go ahead and be seated. Just taking a few more moments of your precious time this morning. Right along here in the sermon, and at least in the previous two parts, this is just a short sermon series, I've been saying to those who have been listening that God is definitely interested and more than hands-on in the event of our salvation, what I would call the event of our salvation. You know, if any man be in Christ, that we're talking about a person coming to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I mean, let me just ask, just by show of hands, just really very quickly, if you can remember that moment in which you opened up your heart and you gave your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior, just throw your hand up in the air. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. And friend, if you haven't, why not? What's the holdup? What's the crash jam? What's the breakthrough that needs to happen in your life in order for you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, to be set free from your sin and from yourself? God is all in and every hand on deck in the event of our salvation. You know that all, friends, and I can say this without reservation, all of heaven rejoiced the moment you asked Christ into your life. All of heaven rejoiced, and some of earth. Some of earth might have wondered, how in the world did that happen? How did you get in? I can remember people saying that about me. How in the world did God ever save a person like Scott Mallory? He's a terror. Little did they know. But some of earth rejoiced, but all of heaven did. The moment that you gave your heart to Jesus, the day you confessed your sin and your need for a Savior. If you haven't done that, then perhaps today. We would love for you to give your heart to Jesus. And if not today, then very soon, because God is in the business of reconciling, and God is in the business of restoring and redeeming. He is a righteous God, a righteous Lord and Savior. Jesus forgives. Jesus pardons. Jesus saves sinners from their self. And once you're saved, you're moving in a new direction. You're on your way to heaven and on your way to glory rather than lost and undone and on your way to hell, the Bible says. Men are only moving in one of two directions, either toward heaven and glory or away from it, to a hell created for the devil and his angels. God is interested in the event that is and could be your salvation. But the next question may be, is that all there is? Is there just the event? No, friends, there's more. There's the experience of your salvation. And the experience of your salvation is something that can be renewed day by day, because each passing day is a day for the very mercies and grace of God to be renewed in your life, for them to be manifest and come into play in your life. Just remember, friends, tomorrow is Monday. Those of you that are in the workaday, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Since God is predisposed and busy working on that end, what are we doing? What is it that the people of God are doing? What am I up to? Is it my job to be engaged in resisting what God is doing? Should I be resisting that? Should I be saying, whoa, hold on, wait a minute. I love this whole event thing. Give me the event of salvation, but this experience business? Are we to be living our lives resisting God? Well, you know, it might explain in part some of the questions, and it might be the answer to some of the critics of Christianity. Should we be found living in that kind of directional resistance to the Lord? And so rather than living in resistance, we should be living in renewal. That's what I was trying to say last week and share with you last week. We should be living in renewal. That the renewing of your mind would be taking place. Based on the fact that God has gone all in on our reconciliation. You see, God didn't save us just for a rainy day. If I'm just satisfied with the event of my salvation, I can guarantee you'll be far more satisfied with the experience of it. God forbid that any believer would put up resistance to what God is up to. But I can tell you this much. In that process, that moment by moment and day by day experience with God, there's going to be some friction. Friction. Anybody here know what friction is? That's what I get at work every day, a lot of friction. I had trained to be an airplane mechanic. I was going to spend my life as an airplane mechanic. And look at me. But they teach you some of the physics of what it takes to get a plane off the ground. Do you know there are four forces at work on an airplane? They are lift and gravity. They are thrust and drag. Jeremy would know this. And so he is an airplane mechanic, right? He lived some of that life. And so when an airplane is running down the runway, it takes thrust to get it to go fast enough to overcome the drag that everything on that airplane is causing friction. And if you're a passenger on that thing, your hope is that there's enough thrust to get this thing off the ground before the runway ends and we wind up in a heap. But there's also two other forces. There's gravity. Everybody here knows about gravity, right? And then there's lift. So you get the thing going fast enough, and you get enough air going over that wing, and so that wing experiences lift, and it overcomes gravity. And guess what? You're flying. It's an amazing thing, folks. I mean, it's absolutely an astounding thing for a man who wasn't built to fly. Hallelujah. And then now you can fly anywhere and everywhere. Of course, at a price, but you can be in places that you'd never dreamed of going in a very short period of time. But there's this friction that's involved. I'm not thinking about that when I'm in the seat, when that thing, you know, when you're sitting in the seat in that jet airplane, and man, you're out there right at the end of the runway, and then they rev those engines up, and you know, here we go. And you're looking around at other people, and some of them are just white as a ghost. Some of them are gripping the seat so tight. We're not really thinking about friction. We're just thinking about survival. Right? But there's friction. I may be all in on walking in renewal. Walking in God's plan for my life, but there's going to be friction involved. And friction is resistance-based. So there's going to be resistance. Preacher, I thought you just said we're not supposed to be walking in resistance. We're not. We're not supposed to be walking in resistance to God, but we are to be walking in resistance to the devil, to Satan, to the enemy. That's where our resistance is. The world, the flesh, and the devil, right? That's where the resistance lives. How do you overcome that resistance? The Bible tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I'm not no mathematician by any stretch of the imagination. I do know, though, that 2 + 2 does not equal 5. I know that. But I have added up this much, that if you do not resist the devil, he will not flee. Are we in agreement? Yes, this means yes. Okay. He will not flee. To the degree that I resist the devil, according to Scripture, resist the devil and he will flee, to the degree that I resist, might determine how far away he goes. Now, would all of us agree we do not want him in the building today, right? We do not want the devil in the building. So the resistance ought to be enough to at least get him out the door. But is he waiting in the parking lot? Are you catching my drift? To the degree of resistance that we offer up will be just how far he flees. And also know this, you know, when the devil is leaving this place, he's going somewhere else. And wherever he goes, he's taking his trouble with him. And he wants to spread it around as far as he can. So friends, we not only have to just resist him, we'll say, for moi. But friends, we ought to be exporting resistance methodology. Teaching it, preaching it, sharing it. Carrying it with us when we go. Because he's out there messing with somebody right now. Or some bodies. Lots of bodies. And so we have this resistance thing we have to deal with. And the only way to overcome the resistance that he offers is the truth of God's word. That's the lift that we get against the drag of his lies. He is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. So he's in that business. And he was in that business in 2022. And folks, when you start looking around, you can say, as far as his business was good in 2022 for the devil and his crowd. Let's make 2023 a down year. What do you say? Let's make 2023 a down year.
Hallelujah.
For the devil and an up year for Jesus. But it means something. It means I have to get involved. I have to be about the business of renewal in my own life. And I can guarantee you, having already looked in the mirror myself today, that there's need for renewal in every life. Because it's moment by moment and day by day, not just because I think you got something going on that you ought to not have going on. But because it's moment by moment and it's day by day. This thing with Jesus is not just a one and done. It's every moment of every day. And hallelujah, friends, because listen, we got all eternity to enjoy it. All of eternity. I'm on my way to glory. I'm on my way to a land that it's a cloudless day, to a day that has no end, to a relationship that just grows sweeter and sweeter and more precious as time goes on. And then there'll be time no more. And we won't even be thinking about it. You can take all your fancy watches and check them at the door. Right? A new thing. You know, when the Bible talks about a new thing, it has an eye towards eternity. Towards eternity, friends. Towards that which you were built to exist in. Towards eternity. Well, preacher, I'm really kind of concerned about today and tomorrow and this week and things going on. Well, absolutely, because eternity includes today and tomorrow and all the things going on. I just got to have my head screwed on straight concerning it. The Bible talks about how we're engaged in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Oh, that sounds intense now, doesn't it? It would seem to me that if we're involved in spiritual warfare, that the mandatory nature of resistance is just, it's not even an option. I can't even be thinking about anything but resisting the devil. Now, listen, now I'm going to be very careful here. I'm not talking about paying and giving your attention to the devil. No. Because you know where your attention is supposed to be given to? To the Lord. Give all of your attention to the Lord. But your resistance is to be moving that direction, towards that old serpent, the enemy of your soul. That's where your resistance needs to go. And your resistance is fed by what's happening this direction between you and the Lord. The grace that He pours out upon us. The truth that He so preciously gives us in His Word. And we can now take that and apply that on the battlefield. I'm sorry, as a Christian, you are on a battlefield. Preacher, I didn't sign up for that. Yes, you did. I did too. They didn't tell me it must have been in the fine print. No, it was right there in bold, black and white. And I'm so glad my preacher told me that early on. He didn't wait for years and years later to finally say, oh, by the way, Scott, guess what? You're engaged in spiritual warfare. How's it going? How's that working for you? No, he preached the Word of God and told us what it was all about. Friends, that's because I'm coming back to this. What does it say? What does it proclaim? Full-blown mandatory resistance. The devil would like you to believe that resistance is futile. Resistance is futile. That's not just a Star Trek thing, right? Resistance is futile. But if we were to be found faithful, we'll also be found walking in resistance as we are walking in renewal in Christ. All right, a couple of things here. Yeah, better go quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Two thoughts. Sober and vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Folks, I can tell you what, if I'm walking down, you know, if I'm just walking down the sidewalk in downtown Sheboygan, and a lion jumped out from some corner somewhere, and you're with me, I hope you can outrun me, just to kind of put it in perspective, because that lion gonna be hungry, and I'm gonna be gone. You know, that's just the kind of the picture there of that. A roaring lion? Oh my goodness! But you know, if you live in places like in Africa, where lions attack villagers all the time, it happens. You gotta be careful what you're doing. You gotta know that they're out there. You know, half the church today doesn't even believe in the devil. They have completely written off the devil. That's just some kind of just religious superstition. They've just written it off. It's all psychology and, you know, whatnot. Psychobabble, I call it. Pseudoscience. No, he real. He walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's not like maybe, sort of, kind of. That's like or else. Don't you think? Can you see it? That's an or else. There isn't a bunch of other options to say, well, I don't have to just do that. I'll just let the pastor do it. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So there's this resistance going on. There's this opposition that's taking place. Ephesians chapter 2, it says this. And I'm gonna be done here. I'm going to come down there and you're going to know I'm going to be done. Shortly, a few minutes. But Ephesians chapter 2, so look at this, what it says, beginning in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And all of God's children that are here that know Jesus as Lord and Savior said, amen and thank you. Thank you. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, friends, I'm telling you that the prince of the power of the air is not Jesus. The prince of the power of the air here is the devil. You know what, folks? I'm going to set this down just for a moment. I got to tell you a little story. I come into church 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning. There were three messages on the phone. I listened to all three of them. Two of them were from the same person. Guy gets on the phone and says some of the most vulgar things. You can't share that. But he's trying to explain what he says. This is what Jesus, our Lord and Savior, did to me and my family. And he went on a rant about all the things that had happened that he said that Jesus had done to him and his family. And, you know, I'm just flabbergasted. Second message, same message. I want you to know this is what our Lord and Savior, this is how he put it. This is what our Lord and Savior Jesus did to me and my family. Now we know that guy's nuts. He's off his rocker. Because Jesus would never do that to anyone or their family. He's confused. Who's doing that? The enemy is. The enemy is. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it's in verse 14, it says, for the devil himself, or Satan himself, appears as an angel of light. Now, folks, that's kind of way out there on an extreme, but that's what happens. That's the kind of things that go on, folks. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that just drives you batty. You don't even know what to do with that. I wanted to put the phone down and go like that, you know what I'm saying? It was just that bad. Sanitize that thing. It was horrid. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But you see, this is the opposition. This is the battle. This is the fight that's going on. It's happening in the hearts and lives of people. Some of them we love and know, maybe family members who are lost and undone in need of a Savior, or who have stopped walking with Jesus for some reason. They have quit. And what they need is renewal, because the enemy is having a heyday. And what's it going to take? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what it's going to take. That's what we need. That's where we ought to be living and moving and having our being. Put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the schemes, the plans. He got schemes. He got plans. You think he's just got one plan? I just got one plan. If it don't work, well, then okay, fine. No, he got plan after plan after plan after plan after plan. You try to plan for his plan. Folks, don't waste your time. Do what this says. Put on the whole armor of God, because that will thwart every plan of the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Now, here's what it tells. Here's what it says. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. God's truth. You know, the whole loins girt about with truth is the stance of the warrior, is the combat position of the soldier. Hey, if you're going to be in this fight, you might as well be ready for it, right? And preacher said, you're in the fight. Well, what should I go out with there with? A couple of sticks? I'm going to take a stick to a gunfight. I don't think so. You're not going to last long doing that. I mean, just saying. Truth. Truth, God's truth, not man's truth, not, you know, not a bunch of men's version of the truth, but God's truth. Therefore, have on your loins girt about with truth, and not have on the breastplate of righteousness, God's righteousness, your right standing with God, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, because he's going to sling them. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, that for me that utterance might be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known unto them the mystery of the gospel. How about something new like that in 20? In 23. How about God up and active in my life in 20 and 23? Bringing to pass his plan and his purpose for my life in 2023. Not waiting to the end of 2023 or sometime in the middle of 2023 or after this or that, which I've already planned for 2023, unfolds. Friends, if you're making plans without God's right now for 2023, I'm going to tell you, scrap them. Go back to the drawing board. Get on your knees before the Lord and ask him what his plan is for 20 and 23. I guarantee you it'd be far greater than anything you and I could come up with for ourselves. And that's for young and old alike. That's for every man and woman and boy and girl of God. And if you don't know him today as Savior, why not? What are you waiting for? What's the crash jam? Jesus has done it all and finished the work. Please stand to your feet with me today. Thank you for your patience this morning. Jesus, thank you for your patience. Thank you that the word says, wishing for none to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God is patient. God is long-suffering. For none to perish, all to come to repentance. And that applies to everyone either here today, maybe watching via the live stream, that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior. Never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Never given your life to him. Never confessed your sin. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10. Verse 9, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart we believe unto righteousness. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it's as simple as that. It's not a formula. But if the Lord is speaking to your heart today about your need for a Savior, you say, well, I've heard that before. I heard that in Sunday school, I think, somewhere, that I need a Savior. You do. Today can be the day that you open up your heart and say yes to Jesus. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord. And believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead so that you could be justified and freed and cleansed and pardoned and forgiven of your sin. And today you could be saved. Today you could know him. And this is going to be the beginning of a brand new thing happening right here in just the second week of 2023, pardon me. And that the rest of 2023 and 24, until Jesus tarries and for all eternity, you can be his peculiar treasure. Today can be a day that heaven is rejoicing over you. You say, well, Pastor, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Are you living for him? He lived and died for you. Are you living for him? Maybe today's a day of renewal in your own heart and your own life. God is speaking to you about a time of renewal for you. I need to walk in the renewal, the renewing of my mind, so that 2023 would be a year in which the Lord is having more of him in me and less of me. So, Father, today we just lay all that before you. The altar is open. Scripture says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. If you're here today, you need Christ. Come, we'll pray for you. We can pray the sinner's prayer together. And you can receive Christ. If you're there watching via the live stream, or if you happen to stumble on this live stream later on, and you've never given your heart to Christ, the Bible says, admit to your sinner. Believe that Christ died for your sin. Confess your sin. And by the authority of God's word, if thou shalt confess thy sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all your righteousness, all of your unrighteousness. You, sir, madam, young man, young woman, can be saved. So, Father, we commit these just final few moments. Maybe some would come and just begin to pray at this altar, because maybe there's someone else who needs to come. Or maybe you need to come and pray for and intercede on behalf of someone that you know today. Boy, I wish they could hear this. I wish they would know this. I wish Jesus would be as real to them as he is to me. Then you come right now and begin to pray for them. Begin to intercede for them. Begin to export some of that resistance. Some of that authority that Satan is wielding over and against the lives of people who need a breakthrough, who need Christ as their Savior, you could come and pray for them today.